Glory to his great name. Hallelujah. Keep that ready, brother. We may close with that. That's so beautiful. Praise the Lord. Jesus was asked a distinct question by his disciples, something that few people ever ask, because we have been raised up in particular ways, peculiar ways in our faith background. And they ask him something, and you know, a lot of times people come with an attitude, I know it all, I got a hotline to heaven. They're very difficult people to pastor or teach anything. They seem to have it all together, but they really don't, because if they did, they wouldn't have to put on such a spiritual front to convince me of something. Did you hear what I said? They wouldn't have to act so spiritual to convince me, because it ain't me that moves mountains. It's not me that answers prayers. Not me that commands blessings on storehouses. Hallelujah. Praise God. So if you try to convince me of your spirituality, I will label you as needing to really grow up in God. Hallelujah. But if you're humble and teachable, then that means that you're willing to grow. And that means that you can learn something. See, Christian maturity and growing up in God, it's not how long that you've been in the way. It's how far you've traveled on the road. There's a vast difference from sitting in church for 30 years and really being led of the Spirit of God. Can you say amen? And letting him grow you as a Christian. By the way, trials are part of growing you as a Christian. After you've suffered for a while, endured under the pressures and persecutions, he will establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. Everybody say establish, strengthen, and settle. And that's when you become one of those Christians that you can't head off, even if you cut off their head. Hallelujah. You're established in the faith. You're strengthened, amen, by God's strength, and you're settled. It's settled, praise God. Hallelujah. So the disciples were teachable. They were trainable. We talked just before all of this happened. I remember here on the Sunday evening, I believe it was, he that hath an ear, Jesus said to the seven churches of Asia, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. And I remember making the statement, I want Dumbo ears. Can you say, man, I want a teachable spirit. I want to be able to be taught by the Lord. Amen. So they asked him, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And most people have their own style, and I'm not going to tell you to pray like I pray. I'm just going to tell you that there's certain principles that have to be in true prayer if you expect answers. They have to be there. So the Lord's Prayer in the book of St. Matthew is not a prayer to be just prayed, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. But there's elements in that prayer that should be in every prayer. Every prayer. Not just that prayer, but every single prayer. One of them is forgiveness. Amen? Forgiveness. When I'm really in a tight place, I check my heart, because the Bible said that if we don't forgive men their trespasses, then God will not forgive us ours. And no one is perfect enough to be exempt from the need for the grace and mercy that flows in forgiveness. Amen? Forgive your enemies. Do good to them that what? Despitefully use you. Don't strike back. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. And even when he repays, he said, don't rejoice when your enemy falls. Don't take pleasure in someone else's pain because you want God to get them. Amen? So forgive us contingent upon what? As we forgive those who trespass against us. Amen? Forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. Then forgive us. Well, they ask him, Lord, teach us to pray. I've been a pastor now for going on 40 years, and it's hard to find teachable people that have been baptized in the Holy Ghost, have read the Bible for a while, because they get preachy. And I thought, well, you probably don't need teaching. You need a pulpit. You need to go out there and go at it. You've got all the answers. You know it better than anyone else. You come in with an attitude of, I know it. I know all of that. You can't go into a classroom where there's a teacher and say, I know all of that. You've got to sit down and listen and be teachable. And you know what they said about Jesus? They said, we know that thou art not just a miracle worker. You're a teacher sent from God. Can you say amen? And I was brought a chair to make sure I didn't get too excited. And it's good that it's here because I can illustrate something. Jesus did something that no self-respecting Pentecostal power-filled preacher would ever do in the Sermon on the Mount. He sat down and taught them there. Can you say, Jesus, there's several thousand people out there and there's no sound system and they're going to have to pay strict attention. He sat down and began to teach them the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus sat down and began to teach them there. And the Bibles, many Bible scholars believe that since there were so many of them, he would teach a while like that, and then he had to go out among them in groups where they were gathered and clarify these things to them. And they were listening to him. And they were absolutely so committed to learning. They had a teachable spirit. And they knew that he was a what? A teacher sent from God. See, people don't perish from a lack of anointing, a lack of power. You should receive power, dunamis. And that means miracle working ability after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. No one is destroyed for a lack of power in the kingdom of God. But people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Someone said, what you don't know can't hurt you, honey. What you don't know can kill you. We need knowledge. We need knowledge. We need knowledge. And we come to be taught of the Lord through the Word of God. The Bible said the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. You got to be teachable to learn anything from the Bible. They were written for our learning that through the patience and comfort of the Scripture, we might have hope. Isn't that good? We might have hope. Praise God. Everybody say the glad anticipation of future good. It says in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. The glad anticipation of future good. Praise God. Amen. Sister Stinson told me when I was laying there just looking at the ceiling, helpless but not hopeless. Amen. She said the Scriptures that we had been taught and we had learned under your ministry, said it brought us through those very tough times that we were going through. Because see, they had hope. No matter what was happening, they had hope. And if you've got hope, then you have a target for your faith. It's not just about faith. Yeah. It's about believing that God is in control, that God will bring you through. It's not believing just in the force of faith, but having that atmosphere of hope. For faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not even seen, praise God. You don't even see the result of your prayer, but you know that you know that you know that there's a God who is in control and he loves you and he's able to take everything and bring good out of it. And you're hopeful, helpless, but not hopeless. The Bible said of everyone that doesn't know Christ in this world that they are without God and without hope in this present world. No wonder they drink up and shoot up and toke up. Can you say amen? Because they're without hope. And they're helpless. So they go to drugs and they go to drink and they go to every kind of sin to try to numb them to the fear that keeps creeping up on them and gripping their heart. But we're not like others. Even in the face of death, Paul said, we're not other like others who have no hope, because we're not without God in this present world. And the Bible said the God of what? The God of hope fill you with hope in believing. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So the one thing that developed in Sister Stinson and in me, and I'm hoping in you, praying in you, is hope. Hope is underrated. Faith has taken the forefront. Faith has no target without hope. Amen. Jeremiah preached a a lifetime without a convert. They didn't listen. They didn't repent. They went into captivity. Amen. Babylon defeated them and enslaved them. And Jeremiah looked at and me as a pastor, I have to see it in people. He saw in a nation what I see in families and in people that turn away from God. The Old Testament prophet, Pamela and I were talking about it. He tries to reason with people. They give that deaf ear. They won't listen. He said of ancient Israel, God said through the prophet, I believe Ezekiel, he said their heart has become as an adamant stone. Literally like a diamond. You know, it takes a diamond to cut a diamond because it's one of the hardest rocks or stones in the world. And their heart had become hardened toward God. It wasn't soft anymore. One of the promises of the new covenant is God is going to make us teachable and humble. Can you say, man, he's going to take away that heart of stone. And he's going to replace it with a heart of flesh. Praise God. He said, I'm not even going to write my laws on stone like I did to ancient Israel. I'm going to write it on the hearts of men. Hallelujah. Praise God. A new heart I will give you. That's God's promise. When you have a good ground heart and you come into contact with the Word of God, whether you're reading it or someone is teaching it or preaching it, the Word of God, brings forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And because of that hardened heart, they wouldn't listen. He said, I rose up early, sent my prophets to you. But that hardened heart, they wouldn't listen. And God gets so personal with this, reaching out to try to help people that are their own worst enemy. We're blaming the devil for everything. But the Bible said that the man of God must not strive with people, but be patient. Instructing those that oppose themselves. One of the hardest things to teach people is, amen, that it's your own foolishness that's opened the door to the enemy. It's your own folly. It's not the devil making you do anything. Remember Flip Wilson? Real funny, but it was, he played, what's the lady? Geraldine. Geraldine buys a dress that costs $500. Back in the day when $500 was a lot of money. She's confronted about spending all of that money. Why did you do it? She said, well, the devil made me do it. She said, well, why didn't you resist him? She said, well, he pulled a gun. Made me do it. The devil doesn't make anybody do anything. Every man is tempted when he's led away of his own lust and enticed. Can you say amen? And to get people to own their iniquity, to own their sin and repent of it and not blame others and not blame God, but own it. Take responsibility for it. David said, against thee only have I sinned. He didn't blame the woman that maybe should have took more precaution when she was bathing. Amen. He didn't blame the devil. He said, it was me. Create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. So listen how personal God gets. He said, they've made their heart as hard as an adamant stone. But he's still reaching to them. And I need somebody to illustrate this with. Terry, would you come? Let me use you as an illustration. And when I put my hand on your shoulder to try to help you, I want you to just turn away in an attitude. See, that adamant heart always works this way. He said they closed their ears and they pulled away the shoulder. They pulled away the shoulder. Here's what God was trying to say to Israel. I want you to pull away the shoulder when I squeeze. He's trying to talk to Israel. They close their ears, they pull away the shoulder. That's what made it hard on Jeremiah. He said, it's so tough trying to teach people and reach people that God loves and he doesn't want to see them suffer and go into captivity. But they've closed their ears, their heart is hardened. And it's hard as an adamant stone. Here's what he was trying to say to them. in the book of Isaiah, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I'm willing to forgive you and cleanse you, restore you, defend you, and provide for you. If you will bow in your heart before me and repent of your sin, I will bless you and I will keep you from the enemy. He said, let's reason together. This is my offer to you. I offer forgiveness and restoration to you. But what did they do? They closed their ear and pulled away the shoulder. Jeremiah said, at night, for my people, my tears cause my bed to swim. I can't take the burden of people pulling away. It hurts like nothing else that I've ever known. To see people sit in church and hear the holy, blessed word of God. And see him every communion service hanging on a cross and you may be seated. Thank you for pulling away in that planned pull. And where the cross doesn't affect them anymore. Close their ears. He said, I'm trying to help people that won't help. They reject it. They want to go their own way. Their heart is hardened. They're not listening. And even when Ezekiel came and prophesied, he thought they were listening, but they were not. He thought it was the beginning of revival. Ezekiel came and the anointing came on him. I like to be in a church where the anointing comes on the preacher. Amen. It's not just like a classroom, but there should be something else going on besides just the teaching. But the teaching had better be there because people are perishing for a lack of knowledge. And it's not just knowledge of biblical principles. It's knowledge of a biblical person. Jesus said, I am the way. Not a way, but the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And he still is to this very day. But make no mistake about it. He is a teacher. And you have to be willing not only to learn, but to apply what you have learned. So being a disciple of Jesus is not just being a student of the word, but a doer of the work. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And it's not just learning what your teacher knows. It's becoming what your teacher is. Can you say amen? Everybody in this room, the whole fivefold ministry is to bring us all into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Jesus Christ. I took my dog for a walk, and it was so good to get out of that old hospital room and get out in the fresh air, and took my son with me, Matthew, and, you know, we were just walking along a sidewalk, and Matthew just stopped, and he grabbed me, and he started crying, said, I've been wanting to do this all day, Daddy, and he hugged me, and he said, I love you so much, I love you, you're best friend that I've got, and he's almost 40 years old, and the tears are streaming down his cheeks, and he said, Dad, when I'm with you, I feel like I'm close to God. I feel God's goodness in you because you've got a good heart, Daddy. You've got a good heart. And I thought that's what God wants in every one of us. Praise God that somehow or another people feel God in us. Not just because we have revelations and we have powerful presentations, but because there's a goodness and there's a mercy and there's a kindness. It's called the fruit of the Spirit, which is the replication and reproduction of the very character of Jesus Christ in us. And Paul said, what my prayer is for everyone that has believed is that Christ be formed in you. Can you say, man, that when people get around you, they feel the goodness of God. They feel the grace of God. They feel the love of God. Hallelujah. I preach straight from the word of God. But I pray that every time it comes, you know that there's a God putting his hand on your shoulder saying, come and let us reason together. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Not going to overlook your sinfulness or your sins, but if you will humble yourself, repent, and be willing to let me wash it away. He said, if you'll reason with me, I'll cleanse you. I'll change you. But if you refuse and rebel, see, he can't justifiably defend those that refuse and rebel against his conviction and his offer of forgiveness. That bothers me when I see people going that way. They pull away the shoulder. It's like saying, I'm going to live my life my way. I'm going to do my thing my way. I'm going to call somebody's prayer line when the trouble comes. Honey, if the trouble's coming because you're walking away from God in rebellion, nobody has enough faith to pray you out of it. You can't send enough money as a seed. The big thing that's wrong with seed faith, it doesn't deal with the heart at all. It implies by lack of information that you can buy a blessing regardless of your heart attitude or your activity. God says if you don't forgive, he's not going to. I believe he meant it. He watches over that part of his word to perform it as well. We need to get really right with God. We need to listen to him. There's not a person in this room that don't need times of personal searching of the heart and repentance if necessary. Repentance brings restoration. How did we put it in such a negative tone? Preachers brag about the fact that they don't preach about sin. They don't want to put no trip on the... One man was asking his mega church why they never mentioned sin. He said that kind of preaching is not sexy enough for my congregation. In other words, it's not cool anymore. And my people are cool. They want a message that is relevant to them and their coolness. They don't want to hear about righteousness or holiness. But I'm going to tell you something. This is a holy Bible. The Holy Ghost is the Holy Spirit. Can you say, man, our God is a holy God, and our God demands a holy people. Can you say, man? It doesn't mean sinless perfection, but it means a heart that bows to him. Glory to God. I'm going to tell you, revival has never come to anybody because of the anointing on the preacher without the people obeying God from the heart. But when they do, he said, I'm ready to restore you. I'm ready to bring the blessings back upon you. I'm ready to keep you and defend you. But if you refuse and rebel, you'll be destroyed by the sword. Your enemies will prevail over you. Not because you're not a covenant, have promises of victory, but because you're not listening to me. You're not teachable. So Ezekiel comes along and he brings an anointed prophetic message to those covenant people. And they gather by the hundreds, and they're just listening. It looks like revival's about to break in Israel. They're paying attention. They're listening. And Ezekiel's feeling very good about this. He's thinking, God sent me, and they're listening. Remember in the New Testament, Jesus looking over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem. You don't have to go through what's coming. Your enemies don't have to prevail over you. Oh, Jerusalem. Oh, he knows what's coming. I'm going to tell you something. I know what's coming. I believe the word of God is true. If you sow the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind. God is not mocked. Grace doesn't cover rebellion. Grace is for the humble. Grace is for the repentant. There's no grace for the rebel heart. That's why the New Testament says, warn those that are unruly. Why, that rebel heart, God can't look over it. He can't just deny that it exists. He said, your enemy will prevail. Satan wants an access. He wants an inroad. Part of the armament is something to do with the heart. It's called the breastplate. It covers the heart of righteousness. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Can you say, man? I look at people without joy and without peace. Amen. And I want to tell them, can't we reason together? Can't we get down to business with God? Can't we do business with our God? Can you say, man? Ezekiel thought that he was having a revival. And God spoke to Ezekiel with this huge crowd listening to him prophesy, but not acting on that word. And he said, Ezekiel, they come to you. And he really burst his bubble. He said, Ezekiel, they come to you as one that plays skillfully upon an instrument. They don't want to sit in a dead church with a dead preacher. They want somebody coming with the fire of God. But he said, Ezekiel, they won't listen to me. And they won't listen to you. They won't take it to heart. They won't give heed. To give heed means to listen with the intent to obey. And the Bible said we need to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. You know, the Bible said when a man hears the word of God and does it not, he's like a man that beheld his natural face in a glass. Everybody say a mirror. When you see, I'm sorry to tell you this, but what you see in the mirror, that's it. That's for real. Don't kid yourself. You're seeing the real you. Not the one that you think you are, but the one that really, really is you. Mirror, mirror, on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? Don't expect that mirror to say, you is. Because you're not. You're you, and I'm me. If you got a wart, the mirror's going to show it to you. Amen? But it's the real you, isn't it? And you know what the Bible said about the Word of God? The Word of God is going to show you the real you. And it's going to show you the real Christ. As we behold, as in a glass, reflected by the Word of God, whose face? His face. We are transformed into His image, even from glory to glory by the Spirit of God. When we behold His face, see Him as He truly is. Amen. And we have a humble heart and an obedient heart and a teachable spirit. Amen. God said the Holy Ghost is going to do a work in you. He's going to make you more like Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm glad my son, hallelujah, didn't tell me, oh God, when I'm with you, Dad, I feel the power of God. I'm glad he said I feel His person. Oh, you don't know what I'm saying today. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. I feel Him. I feel Him. The world doesn't need another definition of Christianity. What they need, amen, is a demonstration of Christianity. Can you say amen? We are the ambassadors of who? Of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. We represent Him. And the power of the Holy Spirit is not so they will look to us as spiritual paragons, but that you might be witnesses for me. No, witnesses unto me. Praise God. Witnesses unto me. That began to occur early after those Spirit-filled Christians went out, because they didn't just talk in tongues. They didn't just operate in the gifts of the Spirit. They began to reflect Jesus wherever they went. And after a while, people begin to call them something. They didn't name themselves Christian, which means like Christ. Can you say amen? People saw them, interacted with them, and said, these people are Christians. Was it Antioch where they were first called Christians? By whom? The world without that watched them. Amen. One of the writers was Josephus, a historian of that day. Not a Christian per se, but he was talking about this new movement of Christianity. He said when they meet one another, even if they are complete strangers, as Christians, when they meet one another, they act like they have known each other all of their lives and are from the same family. Can you say amen? Why do they do that? Why do you feel like you're with someone that you know is your personal family? Because we have been brought out of darkness into this light. We bow to this Savior. We are brethren. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We don't just belong to a church. We belong to God. We have the same Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is so good. John McCain, he was in a prison camp in called the Hanoi Hilton as a fighter pilot shot down and taken prisoner. He's in a prison camp. And he said, you know, of all places to meet a brother in Christ, in my enemy's hands, in the Hanoi Hilton, a very infamous prison where they were tortured, some of them, for information. John McCain included, was tortured. He said there was one guard among the guards that was especially good to those men, even though they were counted as an enemy. One guard showed kindness every chance he got, and he did it kind of in a clandestine way where people didn't know that he was showing extra kindness, but he would slip that extra water, that extra crust of bread to them. He said he was standing beside this man in the muddy courtyard of this place with guards all around and automatic weapons. This man had a weapon. He's guarding them. He said the man slipped off his sandal. With his big toe in the mud, he made the sign of the fish. It's a sign of Christianity that goes way, way back. Because Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men. Can you say, man? And he drew that sign with his toe. And as soon as John looked down at it, he wiped it away so he wouldn't get caught. But he thought, right here in the hands of my enemies, there's a brother. Hallelujah. One of my enemies that's guarding me is my brother in Jesus Christ. And he doesn't count me as an enemy, but as a brother. Oh, God is so good today. I'm so glad to be part of the Christian family. Praise God. It's so good to be part of the Christian family. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of more and more are, but especially as you see the day approaching. Can you say, man, exhorting one another? I'm praying for a move of the Spirit of God. Amen. That I won't have to preach long and I won't have to preach hard, except just for the sheer excitement that God's Word gives me, but not trying to get anybody to do anything. Because when that heart is softened, when that heart is bowed, amen, God's Word finds its target and God's Spirit does the work. Hallelujah. And the Lord will add to the church such as should be saved. People with hearts to receive, embrace, and appreciate the Word of God. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I understand Jeremiah's dilemma and Ezekiel's. How did Ezekiel feel when he saw a crowd and God said, they won't listen to me, even though you're giving them correct word from me? They don't have a heart to hear. But to every church, Jesus wanted to bless and keep from the enemy every one of those churches he wrote to. And he said, he that hath an ear. Everybody say Dumbo. Dumbo. Will Smith's daughter, what's her name? She gonna whip her hair. What's her name? Crazy thing. Willow, you got it. Amen. You win the prize. Don't know what it is, but you just won it. Hallelujah. She says her daddy, because he's got some pretty prominent ears. They're not big. They just stick out real well so you can see them, and he wears that kind of hair. Amen. Yeah. So he said, my daughter tells me I got Dumbo ears. Daddy, you got Dumbo ears. But when it comes to the Word of God, whether I'm reading it, whether someone is preaching it or teaching it, I want Dumbo spiritual ears. I have an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the church. See, there's more here than me bringing Scripture today. Holy Spirit's here. And I'm going to speak, and your ears are going to hear it, your physical ears. But if God speaks to you in this service, you're going to hear it in your heart. Can you say amen? And you're going to have the opportunity to apply it when you leave here. Or to walk out and go and pull away the shoulder. When a man hears the word of God and doeth it not, amen, he's like a man that beheld his natural face in a glass. And walked away from that mirror that told him the truth about himself, right? And immediately forgot what manner of man he was. God doesn't reveal our true self to condemn us, but to help us to overcome the flesh and the world and Satan, who makes his appeal to that flesh. How many know the flesh holds ugly attitudes and will justify it? After what they did to me, I can forgive, but I'll never forget. That's not forgiveness. Aren't you glad that God not only forgave your sin, but he forgot it, disassociated you from it? Amen. As it is written, saith the Lord, I will forgive their sin. Their sins will I remember no more. And how deeply, completely he deals with it. He said, I will cast their sins away from them as far as the east is from the west. Why did he say that? Because there's a north pole that you can go to. There's a south pole. If you keep going south, you're going to end up there. But if you go from the east to the west, there is no pole. Can you say, man, if you went on forever in that circle, east to west, you would never come to an end. What he's saying is, I will never bring that up, hold that up against you. I disassociate you from the sin that's been repented of. No wonder he said to Israel, come, let us reason together. You're sinful and I can't bless you unless you repent. But listen to me, the sin can be forgiven. Though it's red like crimson, it can be like the wool of a lamb. Praise God. That's God's willingness to restore those who repent and those who will listen with a heart to obey. Amen. Listen with a heart to obey. Jesus went places with all the anointing he had, Brother Taylor, and no one would listen. His disciples said, call fire down out of heaven. That's what they deserve. Jesus said, you don't know what your spirit you're of. The man of God must not strive, but be patient, instructing those that, listen to this, oppose themselves. That oppose themselves. I see people come in here and walk out of here and go their own way. I can give biblical counsel, but I can't get them to have that kind of heart. They have to love God enough. They have to get sick and tired of sin enough. They have to want victory more than they want their way. They need to come back and bow before the Lord. When that prodigal son came home, he came home with an attitude, not just an activity. He said, I'm not even worthy to be called a son. But if I could just be a servant, everybody say, he wanted to obey now. He didn't want to rebel and turn away. He wanted to obey. If I could just be a servant to my father, not a son, but a servant. Well, see, if you come back with a servant heart, God is not going to let you just be a servant. He's going to restore full sonship. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't have time to get into the rest of this, but they had a teachable spirit and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And when he began the teaching, he said, I'm going to have to undo what the religious system of the day has taught you. Don't think you're going to be heard. Don't pray like the hypocrite does, because they think they're going to be heard because of their much speaking. Prayer doesn't begin in the head with great flowery words. It begins in the heart. Can you say amen? So he said, don't pray like that, but pray like this. Start your prayer with an understanding of your relationship with God, our Father. Amen. Our Father. It is not irreverent, because the next word out of your mouth, since your Father is your Creator and your Savior as well, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Can you say amen? Thy kingdom come. There's an acquiescence to his will, a recognition of his holiness, yes, but a recognition of your relationship with the Holy One. And this makes it even better, knowing his holiness, that the God that is this holy calls you son and daughter. Looked out at people that were looking back at him and looked like they were lost and forlorn and confused. And he looked out at them and said, what? Know ye not? You are the sons of God. It doesn't appear what you shall be. But don't even be thinking about that. Let's talk about right here and right now. You are the sons of God. If you're sons of God, you're heirs of God. And if you're heirs of God, then you're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And part of what we're joint heirs of is relationship. No one but Jesus could call him Father in the paternal sense. He's the only begotten of the Father. And yet, the Bible said he would bring many sons into glory. And I'm one of them. Yes. Amen? Somebody say, me too.
Me too.
And I want a teachable spirit. When he puts his hand on my shoulder through the Word of God to correct me, amen, and say, Bobby, I love you. That's why I'm going to tell you this. Don't draw away. Draw to me. Praise God. I want that. I want that. I've been going down the road and some preaching has been hitting me. Amen. And I have pulled off, as long as I had time on my way, I have pulled off somewhere beside the road, cut my motor off, put on ACC and listened to the rest of the message because I felt like God is speaking to me through this. And I want to hear when he's speaking to me. Can you say, man, I want to listen. Give me an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to me today. Praise God, because there's nothing like that. Hallelujah. That I might do what? That I might hear it and obey. That I might hear it and obey. Moses went up into the mountain. He came back down. People were so excited. People are saying, tell us what God has to say that we might hear it and obey it. Sounded so good to say those words. Some people in here tell me they want me to keep preaching the truth. Believe me if you're one of them. You want me to keep preaching the truth? Want me to tell you what the Lord has to say? You want me to get my message from God so you can hear it hot off the griddle? Amen. And as they are saying these great words, God is looking past their words right into their hearts. And God says, oh, that there was such a heart in them. Oh, that they meant it from the heart. See, if they did, if they didn't pull away the shoulder, God would restore all those blessings to Israel. Can you say amen? If they would walk out that door and begin to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. Hallelujah. God said, this person is going to be blessed in his deed, literally in his life of obedience. We've kind of separated blessing from obedience to God. Not the obedience of writing a check, but the obedience of denying ourselves and taking up our cross and following him. Can you say amen? Well, one thing that I told the Lord I'm going to do is I'm going to teach more. I'm not going to try to build up a head of steam like an engine trying to pull a train uphill to get people to turn loose. Because if you don't have a heart for God, if you don't have a heart to obey, then I'm trying to get you to react to something you can't experience until you get that kind of heart. I'm trying to get you into joy. And you're not never going to find joy until the Lord is your strength. And the joy of the Lord becomes your strength. I'm trying to get you out of trouble. Amen. And get you into a place where God is actually keeping you. Where you can come in here rejoicing in what the Lord did this week.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. But I can't do it by sweating through my clothes. And looking at who's receptive and who isn't, and who's down and who's up. I have to give you to God. Last night I was laying in the wee hours praying for every individual in this room this morning by name, calling you before the Lord, asking Him to move in your heart and to move in your life. Praise God. I have preached for almost 40 years. I know what works and what don't work. I know the difference in emotional response and a devotional response to the Word of God. Can you say amen? I know that when you walk out that door, that's when it really makes the difference. Can you say amen? Actually, I believe there's a lot of people in this room, if you've been under this ministry for years, it's not just a lack of knowledge in the sense of not knowing what the Scriptures say. It's a lack of knowledge in experiencing that by applying it to your personal life. Can you say amen? I dare you. In fact, I double dog dare you to walk out that door and put into practice what you know God wants you to do. I double dog dare you. You know why? Because He watches over His Word. And if it gets in your heart, He watches over His Word to perform it. And the Bible said it is God at that point that worketh in you both to both to will, that means to reveal His will, that you might begin to bow and bend toward it. Can you say amen? And listen, not only to will, but to do of His good pleasure. Can you say amen? Brother Bible, I can't live up to God's expectations. Of course you can't. He's asking you to receive the Word in the good ground of your heart, and it will bring forth the fruit, 30, 60, and 100 fold. What fruit? The fruit of the Spirit, the goodness, the meekness, the kindness, the love, the joy, and the peace, the character of Jesus being reproduced in you and me. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I held my son. We wept together. And I thought, God, let him keep feeling you in me. Let him keep feeling you in me. And let me be a representation of your goodness, not only to me, but through me. Can you say amen? The Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever and forever. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you getting anything out of this today? Are you glad you came today? Do you believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to the church today? Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me read you this as we get ready to close. This is good. Two secretaries were taking a tea break when they begin to talk about their respective churches. I never knew you went to church, the first one said. I bet you $20 you can't even recite the Lord's Prayer. Oh, yes, I can, said the second. Well, let's hear it, said the first. The second one began, now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. The first secretary listened with astonishment. Well, she said, here's your $20. I sure didn't think you knew it. Here's what I want you to get today. Think of what that means for us when Jesus said, begin your prayer with our Father. Prayer is talking to God as His much-loved child. In the middle of your work day, as you're driving the car, as you're washing the dishes, as you're plowing a field, as you're eating your meal, as you're lying down to sleep at night or waking up in the morning, prayer is such speaking to the Father that when you realize He's with you wherever you go and whatever you're doing, prayer is the confession that you live in the presence of your Father. So I said something else. I said what Jesus said in Gethsemane. Abba, Father. Oh no, I didn't say, I have great faith, I'm rising up from here, I rebuke you, devil. No, I needed my Father. Helpless but not hopeless. Because I have a Father in heaven. Oh, you didn't hear me today. Oh, you want to be big and bad, the big bad wolf. Can you say, man, the devil's sitting out there saying, who's afraid of the big bad wolf? You know who he fears? People who put their trust in God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, because God himself defends them. Don't get me started, because it's time for me to stop. Don't get me started. Amen. You're such a teachable audience today. I feel the Holy Ghost in me reaching out to you, putting his hand right on some of your shoulders, and you're not pulling away. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And God is going to do something in your life. God is going to do something in your heart. What you can't do in yourself, God is going to do in you and through you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's all about the Father and his love. It never fails when I go through something. There are people who want to preach at me instead of pray for me. They got all the answers. They got it. And I thought, I wish you was right in my body for 3 minutes in the floor. You better know the Father. It wasn't my great faith. It was my gracious Father. I have a Father in heaven. And I just said, Abba, Father. And not just a few seconds after that, my son, who is not an early riser, he heard the big bang when I fell. But the only reason he heard the big bang when I fell is because he was up to take a pill at that time of the morning. Amen. Because amen. And he come in the back door and he saw his daddy helpless in the floor. And he called Pamela, and then she called the ambulance. But I'm calling upon the Lord. And I'm praying to my Father. My Father. My Father. My Father. I'm so glad I don't have to try to be strong in myself in those times, that I have a Father. Amen. That lifts me up, that holds me underneath of the everlasting arms. Thou upholdeth me with the right hand of thy righteousness. Can you say amen? I'm glad I've discovered that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So for all those people that want to preach to me, I wish they would just continue to pray for me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Because I do know my Father. I know his voice. A stranger I do not follow. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. And I believe a shift is coming in the way I'm going to conduct ministry in the future. Because without good ground hearts, I'm going to burn out trying to make people, not make them by force, but just, I can't do that. You're going to have to want this. You're going to have to want it more than your sin, more than your selfish ways. You're going to have to want this peace and this joy and this protection that God offers us more than you want to go your own rebellious way when you walk out that door. You're going to have to want Jesus more than you want your flaky friend. I've met people recently that have gone out with Christians to bars to drink, fellow Christians, because they'd rather have their friendship than to follow Jesus enough not to bring a reproach on the gospel. Amen? Evil communications corrupt good manners. The actual Greek rendering of that, to put it plain to you, evil companionships corrupt good morals. If you can't lead them to Christ, they're going to lead you to sin. Make no mistake about it. Can you say, man, if you're a compromised Christian, you're not going to lead them to Christ. You're going to follow them into sin. Amen? So, everybody say, birds of a feather flock together. Can you say amen? How many want to be around that righteous crowd? Not self-righteous, but people who love God enough to really want to serve him and live for him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Put me, oh yeah. Hallelujah. And when it's all said and done, let me die the death of the righteous. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is so good. today. Keep praying. Keep praying. Keep believing. Praise God. Father, we just praise you and adore you today. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll close with this if you will wipe it off. As we go forward this year, I'm praying God fill the empty seats with people who want to be here. And I'm praying people like yourself that come with a heart to hear is who God will send. Because the Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, listen to these words, the things thou heard of me, Timothy, Paul said. This is a charge to Timothy. 2 Timothy 2, 2. The things thou have heard of me, commit thou unto faithful men who will teach others also. Can you say amen? Amen. Commit thou unto who? Faithful, wishy-washy, hit and miss. No, to faithful men who will do what? Teach others also. Praise God. He said to go and do what? Get people saved so you can have a number count in your church and build a better building. No, go and make disciples unto me out of all nations. Can you say amen? Teaching them to observe and to do. Teaching them to observe and to do all that I have commanded you. Can you say amen? Because Christians win souls when they follow Christ. You don't have to get out there and honk your horn and make a show of yourself. When you get it right, you are a city set on a hill which cannot be hid. Can you say amen? And the Bible said you need to, at that point, you need to be instant in season, out of season, and be ready to give an answer to all men for the reason of the hope that's in you, because they can't miss it. They're going to see it. They're going to know it. They're going to feel it. Can you say amen? When they're in your presence, they can't explain it, but they're going to feel God near them. Because your Father's with you. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I wish you'd live for God so you could live in joy and peace and victory. It's the best life that there is. There's none better. There's none better. There's none better. Praise God. And in the day of trouble, having a father means everything. It's the basis for true biblical faith. It's confessing a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, where you're not just a sinner saved by grace or even a forgiven sinner. You're a son of God. Hallelujah. And he's brought you into his royal family. Praise God. Hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet today? God is so gracious. He is so very good. And he loves you with an everlasting love. If Jesus came not to be conspicuous and he wore a suit and tie into this room and you didn't recognize him because there was no halo over his head and he just looked like a tanned man with Jewish features in his flesh manifest. If he sat down in that chair and began to teach, would you pay attention to the Word of God? After a while, we come back to what does the Word of God actually mean and what place does it hold in our hearts? And I believe that God is working here. Sure as I'm standing here today, I believe God is at work in this place. I believe this ministry is drastically and dramatically changing as we speak right now. Praise God. And I believe it's a positive, powerful change. Because you're not going to perish for a lack of knowledge. Everybody say this, and it'll help me close. Jeremiah 3:15. Oh, that's good help today. Praise God. Jeremiah 3:15. God said, amen. I was just quoting it, but that's okay. Say it again. Praise God. And I will give you pastors after my own heart, saith God. And they will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Can you say, man? God said if he's a true pastor after my heart, he's not just going to preach at you or to you. He's going to teach you from my heart. Hallelujah. And when you go out of that teaching, you're going to have knowledge and understanding. You will not perish for a lack of knowledge. Can you say, man? Hallelujah. You're going to be provided for. You're going to be protected. You're going to know the victory that he has promised through his counsel and his love and his grace. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm excited about the Word of God taking root and growing inside of me and inside of you. And it doing the work. Some of you are looking at me like, I could never pull that off, preacher. Of course you can. He wants you to receive it into the good ground, humbled heart. It will do the work, praise God. Oh, I got to add this. I'm sorry, but it's all over me. My word is going to be like the rain and the snow that comes down out of heaven in the book of Isaiah declares. That watereth the earth and causes it to bring forth and to bud. So shall the word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, saith God. It will accomplish that I desire, and it'll prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And where's he sending it this morning? He's sending it to you, and to you, and to you, and to you, and to me. And it's going to prosper in the thing where he sent it, as long as it finds a heart to land in that'll receive it. Praise God. And oh yes, faith comes. Faith comes. Faith comes. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Not the spill off of someone's anointing, but the Word of God itself. Heaven shall pass away, earth shall pass away, but my Word shall abide forever and forever. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. And on top of all of that, you're going to be ready for his coming. Because he said, now you're clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. The Bible said Jesus loved the church and washed it, cleansed it. Oh boy, do we ever need that? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He loved the church. He loves it. Listen, he loves you. He accepts you as you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So he said he loved the church and cleansed it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it unto himself, an old spotted with the world church, with divided allegiances. No, that he might present it unto himself a glorious church, not having spot, nor blemish, or wrinkle, nor any such thing, but it, that might be holy, set apart unto God and to God alone. Oh, Jesus, how I praise you for that today. I want to be like that. How about you? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a right spirit. Praise God. What a wonderful Lord that we serve today. Praise God. I gave you one. That must be the one. Hallelujah. Let's praise him in this song. Are you glad you came this morning?